Good afternoon, everyone. It's been a little bit since I've been here, standing here, and it's always good to see you, and glad to see the Curtises are back with us, and always a pleasure to have them here with us during this short time here in the winter, but we take what we can get, so. As Mr. Tabor was saying, you know, in the announcements, many things are going on. And he mentioned Mr. Welch posed that question about why God has chosen us to have this knowledge and do what we do. But today, once we get past that hurdle, I'm going to talk about a procedure that we go through in our spiritual life, this Christian life of ours, that God reproves us, and that we make sure that who we are, we know it. You know, as we begin our walk, each day we reaffirm our commitment to God as He has placed His hands upon us, and that He has shown us His way. And we find that through His Son, who came here to this earth and walked, perfect example for us. And now we must demonstrate that God has opened our minds and our eyes, that what we know and what we hold dear to ourselves now is not a counterfeit. It's not a fake. It is what God has given us. But we have to remember, through a lot of toil and tears that has come into our lives as we continue this walk. And what did Christ tell us before He left this earthly realm? He said, if you follow Me, they will hate you. There will be pain. There will be difficulty. And throughout the New Testament, we find men who tell us we must persevere. We know that we cannot approach God in a sinful way and in a sinful way of life. He has given us these specific guidelines that we must follow. And through our following a process from on high will prepare us for an event that we cannot comprehend. Today we talk about that process. God has put into place through His Son, Jesus Christ, our elder brother, to assure us that if we persevere to the end, we will be ready for that day. The message today is cleansed, clothed, crowned. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the witness, the trustworthy one, the first to come back to life, and the ruler over kings of the earth, glory and power forever and ever belongs to the one who loves us and has freed us from sin by His blood. As we walk through these words today and look at this process, we don't think much about it, but this is how we escape this realm. This is how we leave here. Many have not had their opportunities yet. They will. But you, God has given you the key to unlock that knowledge that he holds away from the world. And you stand at that door with that key and you open to go in. And you touch things. And you see things and you hear the things that only God has opened your mind to hear and see and feel. This journey is not for the weak. It's not for the timid. And we've read in Scripture, going back as far back as the time that they wrote these books, men wanted to escape. Men wanted to run from what they saw and what they touched. Now, God wants to be sure that who you are and what you do, because there's a purpose for you. And I've said this countless times that God does not tell us completely why we're here and what we're doing. He said, follow me. And this is what we do. Because it's a process that we enter into from the day of your baptism, as we walk hand in hand, side by side with our elder brother and hold our Father's hand, he wants to know. He wants to know, is this a game that we play to fool men? Because God says man can't know another man's heart. We can play this game until we're dead, but you cannot fool God. And as a reason, we cannot know another man's heart. Because centrally, number one, you need to know your own heart. And this is what God tells you about minding your business. Minding your business. And so to begin this process today, we are cleansed from sin, starting as we walk through our days of how long that God allows us to walk this earth and fill our minds with his knowledge and our hearts and his doings. But there was a promise made in Jeremiah 33 and verse 8. A promise. Jeremiah 33 and verse 8. It says, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. Raise your hand if you fit that category. We all do. And I will pardon all of their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. This promise of pardon and holiness must be referred to. It's under these words in the gospel that we read, and that we fully embrace Jesus Christ as the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, but the ruler of this world now would have you to think otherwise. He wants you to worship him. And we see a fine example of that. Just look around you about the chaos, which is only the tip of the iceberg of things to come. Only the tip. Because there will be an accounting of why you are here. All Satan is playing the angles. He knows the angles. then pretty soon that angle will bend back towards you. And then in the midst of that, you choose. And you think about all the years that have gone by that you've sat at the feet of God. Some would say, I know what I will do. No, you don't. You think about Peter. How about that rooster crowing? I would never leave you. I would never forsake you, he told Christ. And Christ looked at him with those earnest eyes and says, yes, you will. And he did. God wants to know. Now, why do we need to be washed? But just stop and think. You're approaching God's throne. You have your filthy rags on. No, that won't work. Unwashed. No, that won't work. So the need, as we see in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51 and verse 2, if you turn there. Psalm 51, verse 2, it says, wash me completely from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. You see, we have these bugs that crawl upon us now. Did you know this? These microscopic little bugs that are on your skin. They're there for a reason, and they are there to eat the dead skin. There's also another bug called sin. The filthiness of it. God is light. You cannot approach that unapproachable light unclean. This is why we have to be cleansed. Albert Barnes, in his commentary, says, literally, multiple times, to wash me. The word rendered thoroughly is a verb, either in infinitive or the imperative mode, and suggests the idea of multiplying or increasing that washing. God gives us an opportunity every Passover. He said, look deep. Look deep. And we as human beings, we had years to learn. That when we were first baptized in those first 5-10 years, many of us just did a superficial look. Didn't look deep. But God gives us that opportunity now. Sin is what separates us from God. It will be the killer. And as we walk through this process, and again, we see in Psalm 19 and verse 12, Psalm 19, verse 12, it says, who can understand his errors? Make me pure from the secret faults. It's like those bugs that's on your skin that you cannot see. It's the sin that crawls upon you. And we must be washed. It is not possible for us to completely understand of why we deviate, why we don't look deeply, But God's a loving God. And he tells us, I will never leave you, like we would. We get mad at our kids, and what do? We walk away from them. We leave them. But God won't do that. There is mercy in him. It is mercy that he is trying to convey to us. Because as a spirit being, this is their makeup. They're a family of two right now. This is their makeup. And if you are to be a part of this family to come, you must think like they do. You must have that mercy. Cleanse me from my faults, that we truly repented of that. Is it a superficial, get on my knees, get up, continue with my day? God wants to know. And you are being evaluated. Every single day, every second of the day, God's hand is upon you. There's a purpose that he brought you forth to be in his family. And every time that I think about and I read, when God says that, you cannot imagine. You cannot imagine what I have for you. Now in 1 John 1 and verse 7, 1 John 1 verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from sin. His blood that he shed cleanses us, makes us clean. That we have the opportunity now to stand before God. Many of the men and women in days of old, that we read about in this book. Only a few had God's Spirit. And you stop and you think about Israel when they came out of Egypt and why they deviated so much. They didn't have that Spirit. They didn't have the faith. That was what God was trying to implant in them. But they wouldn't have it. And even after all of those years, you go back and you look at through the book of Judges and how you would have one righteous leader. He lived for 40, 45 years, die. They'd flop back to where they came from. They'd flop back into idolatry. Another one would rise. They'd live right for another 5 minutes. He would pass away or leave. They'd flop right back. So in building in us, what we have now, this new covenant where the Spirit rests upon us. Many of the children who believed, some went to their graves following the right way. What's their name? We don't know. There were many. But there were many who did not. And God said, they will not enter my rest. Now, why would a loving God say that? Because they rejected him. Period. And so we have opportunity now that God's Spirit lays upon us. We know that we spoke the words about the cleansing that is needed for us to stand in the light of God. Do we take full advantage of this? Do we think about it in our meditation time, in our prayers? Do we thank God for that mercy? But if we walk in the light, here are a couple things that we can do. Number one, leading a life of holiness and purity. Christian must be characteristically holy, a light in the world, being that example. Number two, walking in the truth, that we embrace the truth in opposition to all error, paganism, infidelity, having a clear spiritual view of truth. And number three, enjoying the comforts of what you know and how God operates within our lives. We having that joy. Joy of knowing that we fit in. That He is paying attention to us. That He has given us something that the world, there are many who cry themselves to sleep at night wanting to know what you know. And wanting to have the attention of our great God, like we do. Are we thankful to that end? We must be in that same kind of light that our Father is in. We must fellowship with each other, a bonding, because there's no one else outside of the family here on this earth that God is creating, and we must love each other. We must be patient, kind, merciful, giving. Attributes that transcends our very being. Because we one day, if you persevere to the end, these things will be cemented into you. That blood of Christ that has cleansed us, we thank God for His Son. I'm pretty sure He had a choice to do this. But He said yes. And He came as a man to feel the pain, the temptations of this world and all this life has to offer. And He spilled His blood for us. And we read in 1 John 1, verse 9, 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. We have to be that example. We have to approach God from a deep sense of guilt, the impurity that's in us, the helplessness that rides us. We must humble ourselves before God, acknowledging our iniquity, paying homage to his holiness, and in telling God, I am utterly helpless. Asking that he employ his mercy upon us. And thanking him that he has a son who gave his life for us. And you think about that promise of mercy, that promise of cleansing. But let's look at 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. It says, then having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let us cleanse ourselves. We know, and God tells us, that we will sin. We were born under sin. We'll fall down. But the thing for us to do is to stand up. Don't lay and wallow in it. Stand up. You know, it mentions about the eye and the ear and the hands. And God tells us that there is nothing in this world that we encounter that is not common to man. Not common to man. So we don't know what's in this spirit realm. Because in this room where you sit right now, where we see nothing, there's a spirit realm that's out there. And there's some evil in this room. And there's righteousness in this room, the Spirit of God. We can't see them. We cannot hide from God in our doings, in our thoughts. It is just not possible. So what do? We block it out. Oh, reading your Bible. God has left us. He doesn't see what we're doing. Go back to the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah and read those things. And even a priest has given up. And then God says, come here, let me show you something. Look at that hole in the wall. The so-called priests are sacrificing it, eating rats. They think they're outside of the view of God. Nothing is outside the view of God. We must get the whole mind of Christ brought into us. This is true Christian pursuit. We must resist avoiding the sin in all its forms, setting the fear of God before our eyes that we may dread his displeasure and abhor whatever might excite it and whatever might provoke him to withhold his manna from our mouths. We see, therefore, that a strong sense in which we may go by the process of cleansing ourselves, removing the filth from our flesh and our spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God. It talks about perfection in your Bible. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, here he uses the example of husbands loving their wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. And in verse 26, he said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The church here is represented as a spouse of Christ, preparing the church for himself. He washes and cleanses, sanctifies it. And then we will be ready. But this is only the first step in this process, the cleansing. Let's look at the clothing now. Philippians 3 and verse 9. Philippians 3 and verse 9, he said, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Here the Apostle Paul recognizes true righteousness is a matter of faith, not of works. It is God's righteousness that comes through Christ, not our own. Or whatever we could try and work up. You cannot work for what God has in store for us. We have to demonstrate what he has given us. In Romans 1 and verse 17, Romans 1 verse 17, it says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Meaning here that faith is at the beginning of the salvation process. And it is the goal. As a believer lives by faith, God continues to give aid to him or her from the power of sin by our will and whatever we can muster up. We cannot conquer sin. We cannot do it. unless God gives us the aid, even now, that your minds are open. He gave you the strength to do so. Look at your neighbors and how they are so embroiled in this world and its ways, and how they try to lift their head up, and then Satan snatches it away and it falls back down to the ground. You have lifted your head. You see, you hear, and you know. Only by the power of God, only, we must make sure this is paramount in our minds. No other can make this happen of you being here in this room today, of having that choice. There's so many other things you could be doing today. Caribbean cruise, go to the beach, go hang out with the relatives, you know, but you're here. Simply because of the strength of God. And when we fall, we have a conscience that's continually that's on us. Why did you do that? You know, how many times have you done this? When are you going to get it right? I keep asking God that. When will I be done with this? And what did he tell Paul? He said, I'm fed up with it. And God said in a quiet way, my grace is sufficient. I want to hear more. I want to hear something else, like you're going to stop it. My grace is sufficient. So this is where we find ourselves today, in this process. God will let you walk through your little battles because he wants you to find out about yourselves and about how hard-headed you are. Oh, God, I listen to everybody. No, you don't. You don't listen to anybody but what's in your head. Right? Oh, yeah, I've done that a couple times. God wants to know. He wants to know who we are. There will be no Phantom of the Opera in his kingdom. No. Absolutely not. And so we are given this opportunity to thank him for this process. But a lot of times I think this process is not fair. It's rigged. But God says, I know. Now you need to know. You stand there, as I mentioned, with that key in your hand. Open the door. I don't think I want to. Open the door. Let's walk in here into that space and see what is there. Can we do this some other time? That's us. That's us. But you are on the cutting edge. You have a place in God's mind that no other can have right now. Think about that. You have his attention. And like you were a baby in a little swaddling cloth, and you're just kicking and crying, and he's there to hold, to feed, to watch grow into a being that he said, I know they can do it. I see it. But can we see it? Can we see the end about our future? Faith is the beginning of this process. And in Romans 10 verse 3, it says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. We must weigh these words carefully. We must be mindful that we don't walk on the side of the road which is ungodly. These are the ones that, not knowing God's method of Him bringing children from sinners, God only seeks to have us and to give us salvation. This is what He wants for us. And so when you stand before God in your clothing, white as snow, clean and pure, that God sees you, and His next step in this process, let's look at Revelation 4 and verse 4. You being crowned. Revelation 4, verse 4. And it says, and around the throne I saw 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white clothing. They had crowns of gold on their heads. The glory that will come to you, the ones who persevere. But God talks about the crowns of old men, too. Let's look at Proverbs 17 and verse 6. It says, sons of sons are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons are their father. And God says in Proverbs 16, verse 31, the gray head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Here is a man or a woman who lived a life, a long life, in righteousness. Found in the way of righteousness, persevered, held on to the end until they close their eyes to this word. But we look at Isaiah 62 and verse 3. Isaiah 62, verse 3. It says, you also will be a crown of glory. in the hand of God, a royal diadem in his hand. You are crowned of glory. Now here is the one. If you turn to 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a never fading crown of glory. Never fading crown of glory. A process by which we walk today. Perseverance. Will we hold on? We've looked at cleansing. The cleansing from our sins in this walk. How we are clothed. Your attire is pure white. And how you are crowned. Now, you will be able to sit with your elder brother with your crown on his throne. This is an important step in our preparation. We must ever be mindful of the things and the ways that will sidetrack us in our journey here on this earth. We know what is required of us. Are we diligently working on these things? The things of secret that only you and God have knowledge of? Remember, you have that key to enter into that room. So let us hold fast and firmly to what we know and never forget or let go of it. And I'll read in closing here, Revelation 1 and verse 5 once again. Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the witness, the trustworthy one, the first to come back to life, ruler over kings of the earth, glory and power forever and ever belongs to the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood.